This is Morning Crop Fighters.
And we're back for the Morning Crossfire on your number one news, talk, and sports station, Nigeria Info.
The Current Affairs Show provides a new scope to the details of policy.
Actually participated in the governorship election.
Roll out the vaccination in 40.
Let's stay away from the sides of the story and go deeper together. Let's talk weekdays at 8 a.m.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info Abuja. Let's talk.
The Current Affairs Show.
This is Nigeria Info 95.1 at 7:21 a.m. The big stories now. COVID-19 kills 355 in 1 month. That's according to the stories beating up around the third wave. Guinea's defense ministry claims to have thwarted the coup, but that's not exactly how the other stories are being captured even this very morning. They say some of the people involved in the coup say they're not interested in power. We will withdraw suit against resident doctors if... Okay, that's something being said by the Minister of Labour. I'll play for you what he said exactly about that. Cholera now, casino death toll hits 115. Kaduna Council poll, casino death toll hits 115. In Kaduna State, PDP, CNPP, fourth election outcome. Court urged to reject the outcome of Benue APC World Congress. That's also something making its round and getting quite a number of people talking this very morning as we stay on with some of these stories that is going on across the country. These and many more make up some of the stories you have been talking about. Let's talk more because the federal government, UN, ECOWAS are all concerned about the state of things in Guinea. As of today, Ogoni gives condition for resumption of oil exploration. Nigeria far from eliminating child labor. FSC slams doors on parallel congresses. These are part of the stories this morning. Let's talk more. This is Morning Crossfire.
From your number one talk news and sports station, this is the Morning Crossfire
with Femi G Live.
All right, welcome back to the show. The numbers remain 0700-951-0000. That's the telephone number you can connect with me this very morning right here. That's 0700-951-0000. Okay? You can also keep up with me on WhatsApp. I'd like to read what you're writing about and what you think about some of these headlines. On 080-999, that's a 999 by the way, 30137. All right, let's listen to you now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Penny.
All right, good morning. If you can just turn down the volume of your radio, that would be great.
I'll pop the radio complete.
Oh, good. What's your name?
I want to talk about Guinea-Bissau. I watch the what is happening there on Al Jazeera and BBC.
All right, just before you do that, my dear friend, what's your name?
Okay, this is Elijah calling from Edubagi, Karumo, Abuja.
All right, good to have you on. Let's talk.
African leaders and Nigeria and their condemners, they will not talk to the sit and die president that are happening. It's when the military take over, they will now remember that they will talk. When this man is trying to maneuver the constitutional amendment so that he will remain there for power, they never warn him, they never talk to him. He's now. I watch how the people over there jubilating. In fact, everywhere, both machine, motor, human being, everybody.
Are you there? I'm with you. I'm listening to you.
They should go there and remove the man now. They should go there and remove them. See, they cannot talk to them when they are on power. They will be ruling as if they are ruling goats and cows. Then now they overthrow him. I saw him inside one small hole, one small room they put him there. Let him remain there.
Okay. Let's leave it at that. Well, coup has never been a solution on most occasions, but I like what he said, that sometimes African leaders don't actually talk to each other when they are misbehaving, especially when there's a measure of dissatisfaction from citizens. Do they really talk to each other, or does everybody just mind their business and wait for that moment where they start making statements about, oh, you didn't do this, we condemn this? Really? And you make a lot of sense, my dear friend. Thanks for that insight into that conversation. Thank you so much. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Mr. Sobeji. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. My name is Mr. Steven.
All right, Mr. Steven, let's talk.
Okay, and my own topic is on Mr. President listening to Southeast. For me, if you should ask me, or if I meet him in the street or say, Mr. President, I will not welcome you in Southeast because you have never shown us a fatherhood, the father of a nation. Talk more of Southeastern and Southeast. He sits down in his own comfort villa there, watching what is going on in Southeast, has not stepped in there. Talk more of now that the election is coming, he's no longer remember the Southeast. Southeast, if you think Southeast for what? For friendship or for a leader who cares about their citizens. Look at what is going on in Nigeria. Has he one day come out and say, console even Nigerians that are dying every day? Talk more of Igbos who are in thousands, 7,000 plus in prison in Nigeria, and they have not talking about it because life of prison is nothing for them. It is unfortunate.
It is not fair for them, Jeffrey.
Where he's leading us. It is not fair. We are very, very angry about him.
All right.
Thank you, and God bless Nigeria. Before.
Thank you. Thank you so much for expressing yourself the way you have. Of course, I cannot start to the what you said about lives of people not mattering to them. That's a very, very tough one to have said, but it is really of concern. I also, there are reasons to wonder why visit now. That's the question that's been on my mind since about early hours of this morning. Why visit now? Why is Governor Uzodinma asking the president to visit now? Is it really ideal as we have a more tense situation there to deal with in the southeastern part of the country? In the meantime, let me share with you what Minister of Labour, Dr. Chris Ngige, has been talking about. He says they will withdraw the court case against the doctors if they go back to work.
I agree, Mr. President, and we have agreed that if you come back to work, and if they come back to work, we can take other things from there. We will draw the case in court, and then they'll come back and get things done. So this is where we are with them, and we are saying that even if anybody cares to put it in any agreement, that clause will be void ab initio because they are against the law of the land, and we will not, as a government, succumb to undo arm twisting and then go and sign that. Other workers have lost their pay during strike. The Joint Health Systems Union, JOHESU, they lost their pay in 2018 when they went on a 4-month strike. They lost about 2 or 3 months of the pay when the no work no pay was invoked.
All right, yeah, there you have it. Well, Minister Chris Ngige, Dr. Chris Ngige, expressing his point of view. If only they go back to work, I mean, we will draw the court case against them. Looks like it's not backing down. Many weeks on, we're still continuing to see what the doctor's strike is all about. And yes, I wonder if peradventure, any of the sides, and I'm really more even particular about the government side now, if they're evaluating the situation to understand how intense and how this is affecting every one of our lives. I really do wonder how that is going on. Let's give up with your thoughts this morning. Who is with me? This is Morning Crossfire.
Hello, Femi D.
How are you today, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Paul Indomitable.
Good to have you on.
On about what is happening in Guinea, those who are celebrating the coups should remember that there will be tomorrow. By tomorrow night, you will say, hey, the army are flogging us in the street. This is happening and that is happening. That's how they celebrated Taliban in Afghanistan. Remember that Taliban didn't come into any coup. They were elected. by the Taliban people, and before you know it, it becomes something else. I don't say that it is good for any leader, for leaders, to neglect their people.
There were no elected, just to correct that. Just to be sure, there were no elected. There were quite a number of people who felt the Taliban could provide them with some sense of direction, but there were no elected. Election usually takes place under democracy. Talibans have not said they are democratic in nature.
Since you have forgotten that Taliban have been in power, and they were driven
away. Understand me, my dear sir.
They didn't plan coup.
Okay, so understand it very carefully, sir. The word election, the very word election, is used under a democratic setting where you pick somebody, follow a democratic process. What I'm saying to you is that a group of people agreed that the Taliban would possibly give the direction in Afghanistan. So it's not that they were elected through a democracy. So they're neither Democrats, neither are they, did they carry out any coup.
But
I'm just, my dear sir, it's very important whatever the case is. Because remember, hold on for a moment, sir. Just imagine this. Excuse me, sir. Okay, well, if you want to go. But remember this. As you speak, there are young people who are learning about politics of the land. We shouldn't misuse words in the wrong place. I'm not saying your analysis of the situation is right or is wrong, actually. I'm just telling you that they did not elect terrorists. You don't elect terrorists to lead you. It's not the way it's done. Just try to understand that some words don't match some places, and even though we may have good intentions or good ideas around certain things, there are things that don't match certain ways. I can't elect a terrorist. It's not done. They don't even match in words, okay? So think about it. Yes, Taliban, provided by some group of people who felt they'll provide direction for them more, and they did take over. They didn't come in as a coup or carrying out a coup, because a coup is usually assigned to people in the military or in security operators, so you can't say it's a coup either. They did take over. It's not a coup. It's not an election either, all right? So that's what I was trying to point out to you, not your viewpoints about the implications of having either terrorist or military takeover, okay? Just make an understanding of different groups of people, different categorization of words. These are very important because there are a lot of people who are learning about democracy and what it is and what it's not based on what you say. Good morning to you.
Good morning this morning.
How are you today, sir?
Fine. My name is Oki Ibrahim.
Okay, good to have you on this show. Let's talk.
I'm calling from Buhari.
All right then, welcome.
Benny D, can you imagine the way Ngege was talking? Look at that tone that he was using. He's not using the tone of diplomacy and peace to settle this matter. And people are dying. How can he be talking like this? He was talking that, when I listened to that, I was very sad. You know that the hospital here in Buhari now, people who go to hospital, doctor cannot see them. People who do not have money will go to private hospital. Ngege, that was trained as a medical doctor to save lives, is now talking like this with the highest level of impunity against the way people are dying. It's unfortunate. And it is very sad. In this country, doctors are moving to Saudi Arabia. Doctors are moving to Australia. They are moving away. And he's using this tone to talk without settlement. How are they going to settle this thing? Now, this strike will continue. NMA has given 21 days for strike. At the same time, the other people, health workers, want to go on strike again. These people also want to go on strike. Is Nigeria not a failed state?
That's the question.
Is Nigeria not a failed state with all these things that people are dying in insecurity, people are dying for health? And the leader will come to national radio and be talking like this. People are mocking us in the international community, for God's sake.
All right. My brother, thank you so much. And you do raise a question that the indicators continue to also, one would be left to wonder about where things are. Meanwhile, let me share with you, over the weekend, the Kaduna State government, there was local government polls in Kaduna State as Bidovio of the state, and it was interesting that Governor Erufai, within his own polling unit, he did lose that to the PDP. Here's why. Take a listen to this.
There is a significant improvement over 2018 local government elections. The improved voting machine we now have makes it nearly impossible to do multiple voting, which happened a lot in 2018. You activate the voting machine with your voter's card. Once you come, you are accredited that this is your polling unit. You go to the voting machine, you place your voter's card, it opens the machine for you, you vote. The whole process takes less than 15 seconds. So it's very quick, very efficient, and you see your ballot paper being printed so that the ballot papers can be counted in case the tally electronically by the voting machine is not agreeable to all the parties. So we are very happy with the improvements, and we are pleased that this time it will be extremely difficult for anyone to rig these elections. The machines also transmit the results at the end of the voting to a server, as well as a backup on a USB, as well as printed copies for all the parties, all the security agencies. So it's very difficult to alter anything. We are committed to free and fair elections in Kaduna. As I said several times, we are not going to behave like other parties or other state governments where the ruling party wins everything.
All right, but that's one way to say it. Kaduna State Governor making comments about the new electronic election that they did have, and that there was exercised this weekend in the local government post. That was quite good to see. By the way, the machines look splendid. Yes, with the processes they described, and I've had a look at some of those machines. It looks like we may be getting there. Well, let's hope the politicians are not able to beat the process, come up with all the ways to beat around this. This is Morning Crossfire. I'll be back after now.
This is Nigeria Info.
Nothing breaks the news like the news. Trust me, I can prove it. I'm ready. Let's take on the biggest debates on radio, provide insights, experience, and build an unforgettable discussion together. I am Femi D. I'm a lady.
From your number one talk news and sports station, this is the Morning Crossfire
with Femi D Live.
Oh, yes, it is. The Morning Crossfire, this very lovely morning. It's the sixth day now in the month of September 2021. And absolutely, it's a Monday. Yes, it's raining in some parts of Abuja, but I understand in some other parts, they're just enjoying the weather. It's not raining in some other part. But are you ready for work? Are you on your way to work? Keep up with me now. There's so much we are going to be talking about in the next 1 hour. Have you heard about this? Hold on. Oh, wait for it. Have you heard about this? That somewhere out there, in Abia State, there's a plan to have residency cards. Okay? Residency cards. In this, for example, if you stay in a community where you stay, your name, your number, the address you stay, the local government you stay, it doesn't matter whether you're a foreigner, whether you're from another state, but if you're residing in Abia State, in days to come, you would be required soon enough to get residency cards. Is this a good idea? Will this checkmate security issues? Will this help communal situation as we have it with insecurity in Nigeria? Well, we'll talk about that in the 8 o'clock hour when we do get into the current affairs segment of the show. In the meantime, let's read up what you're writing right here on Nigeria. For some of your messages are here right now.
This is Morning Crossfire.
All right, well, let's read what you write here. Masuru Adetunji from Shedda says, on Kogi, loss of 8 billion naira over flooding in 2012. It's high time that the states and the federal government look into the house, into the issue of flooding in the country, in the sense that every year Nigeria experiences flooding without profiling any solution. And some states see flooding as a means of getting money from the federal government. And now the killing of Shore's brother is quite unfortunate. With the killing, Nigeria no longer value life irrespective of class, tribe and status. We should condemn this act of insane and scrupulous attitude of some deranged people. People have been killed in Zamfara State, in Niger State, Kaduna, in Jos, in Katsina, and nobody is calling for investigation. Like, how many Nigerians can ask the security body to bring the perpetrators of Sowore brother to face justice? All right, that's quite an expression. You do go on them. And yes, by the way, the police did confirm that. And yes, Showore himself also did confirmed that his brother was assassinated. He talked about how committed his brother was to fighting for what he believed in. In fact, he said his brother did take out time before he settled down as a family man. He was almost 50 before he started to settle down as a family man with children anyway. And said he was really, really resolute and talked about their childhood and the experiences they shared extensively. Our hearts goes out to dear friend Chiwere, during this time, during this very period of loss that he's experiencing. Brian Mays from Airport Road says, very visiting Imo State. I hope it's for peace talk, not 2023 politics, because the level of injustice and hatred in the state and southeast at large is something else. So let him preach peace and love, release those innocent youths in prison. The level of insecurity in the country is worrisome. Imagine bandits kidnapping each day here in the FCT. For all these bandits, as they are backup, if not, they would have been defeated long ago. I thought with all types of fighter jets the federal government bought by now, insecurity will have been reduced, but they are also waxing strong. They got to continue to protect his people. By the way, there was a major face-off in Kaduna State over the weekend between security operators and some bandits. I understand it was really, really bad. The security operators were able to intercept some bandits who kidnap people and tell the families of those people to go buy motorbikes worth about 500,000 naira. Tell them where to buy those motorbikes, just tell the families of where to buy those motorbikes, and then possibly just pay for the motorbikes, we'll get it ourselves, and then they'll release the loved one that may have been in custody or under their duress, pretty much at that. But the security operators were able to step up a little bit more this weekend, and it was very intense in Kaduna State over this weekend, and that's a little bit of the story that I'm hearing. Trust me, there are a lot of security stories. Some I can share, some I am not permitted to share at this time. Alright, let's keep on now. Emmanuel Bako Kenny says, life is no longer valuable in this government. May God come and save Nigeria. That is his opinion about this. Asala from South South says, for President Buhari to visit Imo State, they should be happy. And to know that he really loves them, it is now that they have the opportunity to discuss what they really want with him for the betterment of the state. Kidnapping of another ruler in Niger State, where are those men of God that are healing the blind? Where are those that are performing miracles and wonders? Instead of us to be calling on you people, we are calling on the past leaders who are saints. The people have disappointed us. It is only because of shame. Otherwise, we'd have called on the Yoruba gods to strike their thunder, because they have the god of thunder which have been packed a long time ago. That's Asala from South Sound. And keeping up with another message now, James TK from Lube did write, and he said, good morning, Dr. Femi. The APC chairmanship, Akume open campaign office in Abuja. What a shock. So this is what his press release last week was all about. Because of his selfish political interest, he organized the press, to win the hearts of his masters at the detriment of many people's lives. The blood of our innocent people are crying for justice, while those that are supposed to fight for them are busy playing politics with their lives. Posterity will not forgive, he goes on to say. James Tiki from Lugbe did write that in, accusing the former governor there. Kedi Omawe says, gunmen adopt monarch in Niger State. That has been your predicament under APC now. Nobody will fraudulently rig results of an Anambra election, says PDP. Tinubu group drives APC to court, patriotic Ode. Okay, so Kenny Amawe, do me a favor, so subscribe me. Please make an attempt to separate the message. I just realized I'm reading different, your reactions to different headlines almost as one sentence. It's just the way you structured your sentence. So make an attempt to separate it so I can at least sound like I'm reading properly, okay? All right, let me take it up from somewhere in your message. Now, you go on to say, patriotic Nigerians are appealing to INEC, security agents and the judiciary to fear God Almighty and do their work without fear or favor in conducting elections. Once we get it right in the electoral process and arrive at free, fair and credible and transparent elections, all this problem of insecurity and mistrust of government will be a thing of the past. Go and get your PVC now and use it. God will surely deliver us someday. Katie on my way, did ride the team. Okay. Dr. Femdi, good morning. You said cholera is killing many, about 115 in Katsina State. That's very unfortunate. Doctors are supposed to calm the situation and on strike, and there is no any other plan for doctors to resume to work. What's the duty of the Minister of Health doing in respect of these? Joseph from Guluwa did ride the team. All right, Ugo from Lifecom says, while we Africans and black race like this, Abacha, India, Amin, Mbutu, Bia, Gaddafi, power mongers never ready to relinquish power or hand over power. God help Africa, please. This coup in Guinea may spread to other parts of Africa, especially some of the countries. Ugo from Lifecom, out of respect for those countries, I didn't mention the one you did write in, okay? America from Usman Dam says, on Minister of Labor statement, he's quick to tell us how Joseph lost 2 or 3 months' salaries in 2018. It was easy to implement, no work, no pay. But so difficult for the same government to honor an agreement which, over time, the government cannot trust the professionals in medicine whose hands we all run for treatment. How often has he protested for his numerous allowances? All are paid, but the stipends meant for his doctors, they keep sitting on it. I still want them to go to work. Let the issue be tackled, not going to court for injunctions. All right, let's reach you more now. Dose says, good morning, Femiji. Concerning the purported coup in Guinea, of course, ECOWAS leaders would say and do the normal, that is, taking a position of non-tolerance of forceful takeover of power. The actors have said that they have no interest in power, so let's watch and see what plays out. Viva No said a show last night that highlighted the terrible political past of some poor African countries, and the story has not changed much today. It's an African phenomenon that will always make us a pawn on objects of ridicule in the hands of the West. Ironically, only a minute, few ECOWAS and African countries are as clearly exclusive and really running through democratic rule based on equity and the rule of law. Oh, Africa, my Africa, it goes on to say, that's today's message there. From Wusetu says, from D, nice work. Please and please, can this man, Dr. Chris Ingege, resign? In fact, I'm fed up with this government. Let them all resign and leave Nigeria alone. If they can't fix the problem, get off that seat. None of them has patience in their office. None of them has patience to your office they occupy. Should all doctors and consultants leave the country, meant to say, before Dr. Chris Ingege, would they have to leave the country before Dr. Chris Ingege will know that there is fire on the mountain? So if the military strike a coup now, someone will blame them. From Busetu did write that in. Well, nobody is asking for a military coup, and I'm sure we're way past that right now. And the military has assured us nothing of such nature is being discussed anywhere that they know of. At least nobody usually acknowledges a coup, so we can confidently say that is not coming up anytime soon. All right, well, stay with me. There's more to come. I would also like to share with you what Senator Aliu Dume said recently when he visited the president. Let's take two calls and I'll share that with you very quickly. Keep up with me on 0700-951-0000, okay? That's the telephone number to join our drive for Abuja this very morning studio conversation on Morning Crossfire. That's 0700-951-0000. Okay, let's keep up with you. Good morning to you. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
Mr. Femidi.
Good morning. How are you today? I'm good.
How's work?
Very well.
Samuel from Gwagolada.
Samuel, welcome. Let's talk. Samuel, are you there? Samuel? Oh, okay, that's not working out. Well, let's move on now. Good morning to you.
Nothing breaks the news like the news.
Oh, yes, very true, and I can prove it. What's your name?
Good morning, family. This is Comrade Sam from SCTA.
All right, Comrade Sam. Good to have you on. Let's talk.
Yes. The level of insecurity in Nigeria, particularly in the north. You see, in 2014, when there was so much bickering and so much animosity among in the wisdom of good Lord Jonathan, he organized a conference, and the same note worked out, stage a workout. I don't know what this note wants. We have been complaining of Alamajiri, because when Alamajiri, it talks of 10 million this year, in the next 20 years, they become 30. So what are we talking about? You cannot keep Alamajiri system and say you will have peace. Thank you.
All right, well, that's what we are saying, but there are other methods that Jonathan has worked on to keep the system going, at least to try to make it a proper platform for education, but I'm not too sure why at this time the approach of every government is different, but the APC approach is also different with regards to that. Let's see where things go, but it's really a dire situation. Good morning to you. Yes, how are you today?
Good morning, sir. I'm fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining in. Welcome. What's your name?
Obank, you're calling from Central Area here.
Oh, good. Let's talk. I'm with you.
Concerning the ECOWAS and Nigeria condemning the strong term of food return in Guinea.
Mm.
I must say, Nigeria and ECOWAS, they are very good in condemning things, but they don't find solution for the matter when things are going bad. And it's very, very unfortunate for such. Because when this man was amending the constitution, all of them, they came to Nigeria, they seek help, they seek intervention for Nigeria. ECOWAS, where were them then? Nothing was done, nobody. So why are they talking now? It's very, very unfortunate. Concerning Chris Ngege, I don't know. They are not helping matter. Just now, people are hearing, even our man of integrity, the president, I think he should intervene into this matter of this thing. Because especially the consultants, these are the people who are the main doctors. Now, if these people are joining the track now, what will be the result? Just talk about that. If you know, even know various doctors, because you can get doctor anywhere, but what are those consultants? They are the ones who are the main, doing the main work. So please, Mr. Integrity, please intervene into this matter. Please, we are losing life every day. It's not good, please.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. I'm grateful to you, dear friend. Interested point of view. Now, Senator Aliu Dume was visiting the president some days back, and, you know, he had some ideas as regards blanket amnesty for fighters, the Boko Haram, and let me allow him to explain himself through this. Take a listen to what he said.
It's not an unusual visit, or this is not the first time. My stand on this has not changed. It's only that maybe people interpret it the way they want. There is a national law that should guide all this, and there is international law that guides this, because this is not the first time we're having such challenges in the world and in various countries. And normally when you get to war level, you are expected to either defeat the enemy, or the enemy surrenders. And once the enemy surrenders, you lose the right of summarily executing him because he's an enemy. And you also don't have the right to summarily declare him innocent and say, oh, you have sinned, go and sin no more. What I'm saying up in issue, and I still maintain this position, inasmuch as we welcome the surrendering of the Boko Haram, it is very, very important that we follow the due process according to the law of the land and the international law. And that is to say, take them in, profile them, process them, investigate them, interrogate them, and then those that are innocent should be let go, and those that have laws in their hands, they should be appropriately prosecuted. And once the person surrenders now, he has an advantage. Once you surrender, and you cannot be just summarily convicted, you will be given the right to go to court, and declare you're innocent or otherwise. That is what I'm asking for. And I'm also saying that as long as the war is continuing, it is now time to apply the carrot and stick approach. While we are prosecuting the war rigorously in order to bring it to an end, a window is there available to tell those that are willing to surrender that you can surrender, and then you'll be processed accordingly. And after that defeat, or after the war has come to an end and the window is there for them to surrender, as they are surrendering in droves now, they should be processed. They should be investigated. And then we have sat down in Borno State last week, the stakeholders, to look at what are the suggestions or what are the ways that these people can, after surrendering, be managed according to the law.
All right, well, how do you manage them according to the law? That is where we are right now. But hold on for a moment. Let me drive home a point, a point which is also a point of caution. So one of the studies that we've done, and I know this for sure, because one of the studies that has been done in conflict management, and you know, there's the resolution part, there's also the management part. People say, when you say management, it means that you have the situation under control. Is that sometimes in war, and this has been done in the 17th century, 18th century, even earlier than that, enemies can slip into another person's camp, and the idea around going into another person's camp is to, you know, not pretend yourself you've surrendered, and ultimately make the other person let his guard down. Will this sense of repentance let the Nigerian security operatives presumably let their guard down? It was done during the Ottoman Empire. It was done, I mean, 1,001 stories I can tell you about this. But let's follow through with the news update now. Stay with us. This is Nigerian Info.